Yo, this is 3flexion, and you're listening to 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg.
Welcome back to Manitoba in the Moment on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Lucy, and today we have a special guest with us, Adam Yerish.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So, some of you might recognize or know Adam from the band The Love Letters, who have been, are quite popular around the city, I would say. I've only ever heard good things about you guys.
Glad to hear.
Yeah, especially with your Strokes covers. Everybody seems to really enjoy
Strokes
those.
Strokes covers?
Yeah.
Interesting, okay.
I hear a lot of people bring them up when they talk about
really?
The band. Yeah.
The Strokes?
Yeah.
I think we've done one Strokes song.
I think so, but it must have been very...
All right, it made an impression. Good to know.
Very impressionable. So you have a couple of singles that are out now.
Yeah, I have one single that's out, and then I have one that's coming out next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how is that feeling emotionally so far?
It feels good. It's kind of been a long time coming. Like, I've been sort of working on songs on my own since I was quite young. And so I've sort of been building up this collection. And then a lot of those ideas kind of made their way into the Love Letters when I joined the band. But a lot of them didn't. A lot of them kind of felt like they were a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting on them for years, and I would like occasionally play them live and stuff and do like acoustic things, but not very often. And then I kind of just... last year or maybe the year before, I sort of decided I should do something with these. They're just sitting here and I'm like aging out of them, and I want to like share them while they are still relevant to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I sort of started doing that, and it feels good. It feels kind of like I've been like holding in a sneeze and it's finally coming out. Like these songs that I'm working on now, some of them are like 3 or 4 years old since they actually started.
Okay,
so it feels like I kind of need to get them out there just to move on from them, you know. So it feels good to finally fully realizing them.
I bet that's a great feeling from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So when you say your childhood, so when did you first actually start getting into music and connecting with it?
So my dad is very musical, and mm-hmm. So I sort of grew up around that. And when I was very young, like maybe 11 or 10, he sort of showed me the ropes a little bit with like a little bit of, I had this like tiny little acoustic guitar
mm-hmm.
that I learned like two chords on, and that, and I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, but it didn't really click at mm-hmm. first. And then it was maybe 5 or 6 years later, when I was more in like middle school, where I kind of like, okay, I sort of discovered it on my own and got really interested in it. And then I had like building blocks from when I was younger, from when my dad kind of showed me that stuff and like always being around music with him. And then I sort of really kind of got bit by the bug when I was in like early teenage years. And I was like, okay, I get it. Here I go. This is going to be like a thing forever, I think.
Yeah. So is there like a specific moment or artist or song that really just hit you when you were in middle school there?
That's a good question. I mean, sort of tying it back to my dad, he was very influential on me growing up as far as my music taste goes. And so I got like super into the Beatles mm-hmm. when I was a kid, and that carried on into middle school. So I think they're kind of like the thing that made me want to play and make music and sort of get going when I really, I got that momentum that I was talking about. And then it was kind of just an avalanche from there of all the other artists that followed after. Yeah.
Well, the Beatles are great. Like, example to follow just because they're so diverse with everything they did.
Yeah, and just like very songwriting like mm-hmm. focused, you know. It's kind of like you think of them as songwriters as much as you think of them as musicians, and that's always been the thing that I've been interested in, like even more so than being really good at playing an instrument, just like the idea of being really good at writing songs. Like, I've always been very
interested
in like, oh, I want to do that, I want to get good at that.
Okay. So then with your songwriting, have you been working on things more recent, or has it been mainly focused on sort of going through the memory lane of your older stuff?
Yeah, a bit of both. Like, I definitely sort of found myself at a place maybe a year or two ago where I was like realizing that I wasn't writing as much current stuff as much as I was like looking at old stuff and trying to finish that, because I'm pretty slow with mm-hmm. writing, I've come to realize. So if I don't like kind of make myself spend some time to start from scratch, then I'll just kind of look back a lot and like, oh, I started that song a year ago and now I could like add something to it. So I definitely felt like I was at a point where I was working through the backlog and not building up you know, like a new sort of array of songs. And then I feel like I've heard other people say this, and I've definitely related to it, where like it's kind of like a muscle where if you don't write songs for a bit, it's sort of you kind of have to get back in the groove.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I sort of came to realize that a year or two ago, I was like, okay, I'm going to make a point to try and write regularly and like get back in the groove. So yeah, I'm definitely writing a lot now and like have been for a while and just kind of working on the next stuff. Yeah.
Very cool. So have you been influenced by anything in particular, or has it just been to do those exercises and fine tune it?
Yeah, both. I mean, like there's definitely a little bit of discipline, which I'm not the greatest at. Like I hear people sort of talk about how beneficial it is to write every day. And I sort of fall into routines where I do that for a while and it does feel good, but it's really hard to keep up just with everything else going on. So there is a bit of a discipline, but then also it's just like when something is exciting to you, that's when, you know, that when you like really are excited to work on it and you're like thinking about it on your drive home, and you're like, okay, I gotta work on that. That's when it's like, you kind of can't help but work on it.
The excitement of it just draws you in. So has being in a band influenced like a change in your songwriting, or has shown you what you work well with or what doesn't work well?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, obviously just the collaboration that comes with being in a band is really, really helpful, and just getting to be around like that environment all the time, because I live with two of my bandmates, Joe and Nathaniel. And so Joe also has like a bunch of solo songs that he works on, and then Nathaniel's sort of the main songwriter of the band for the Love Letters. So like when you're in your room and you hear people writing and performing in like the next door bedroom, it kind of gives you a kick to be like, all right, you're right. Yeah, it's happening. I should get on that. So I find that very inspiring, just being around it. But then also, yeah, just writing in general and sort of ideas. It helps a lot to be around people and just to bounce things off of them and to kind of get their perspectives.
Okay, so you have a really good environment for encouraging.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, sort of what I found now that I am doing the solo thing as well as doing the band is like they're very different ways of doing the same thing, and they like make very different results, I find. And I kind of like them both equally. Like when you are writing in the context of the band, it's like you're kind of one fifth of this, and so not all your ideas are going to get in, and like some ideas that like maybe don't make sense to you at first have enough momentum to keep going. You're kind of like, okay, I just got to trust where this is going. And then a lot of the times, like 9 times out of 10, it gets to the end goal and you're like, okay, like I see it now, and it became something that I wouldn't have made. But then the inverse of that is like when you are working on your own, then you can kind of just like fully follow every instinct that you have, and it's like it's very satisfying to sort of like, this is exactly how I wanted it to be. And then it's you can just sort of see it like come to life the way that you imagined. So they're both very satisfying in very different ways.
Yeah. One has a goal that you pictured and the other one is, I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. And I'm kind of just like trusting the process a little bit, trusting the magic in the room that like, I know everyone here is like
good
enough at doing this that like, I know something's going to happen and I don't need to like have my foot on the gas the whole time, you know?
Yeah. So with that being said, we'll dive into one of the songs from your band and we can go into a bit of like how the songwriting process was for the working with the band part before we move on to focusing on all your new stuff that's happening and hopefully continues to happen over the course of the summer. So we'll be listening to Valentine by the Love Letters, and then we'll be right back with more of Adam Urish. So you're listening to 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment.
Tell you, but we haven't seen each other in a week. Oh, won't you please, oh Valentine, look at me in the eye and lie, say it's all right when wish I could tell you about it. Haven't seen each other.
So that was Valentine by The Love Letters on 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment, and we have Adam Yarsh here to talk a bit about his music and, yeah, new releases that are springing up. So, obviously, we're talking about your songwriting process previously before we went to the music there, and just going between how working in a band has been different and beneficial for your music and how it has changed. So working on this song specifically, what was sort of like working on that and then the effects that had with you?
Yeah. That one was, if I remember correctly, that was like about a year and a half ago now, I think. But Nathaniel, the lead singer of the Love Letters, of our band, he had some of the chords and some of the melody, and that was roughly it going into it. And so it was me and him that actually sat down to work on that one, and the original demo is just like two guitars with us figuring some stuff out. And so I what I remember most is like writing the lyrics together, which isn't something we do a whole lot of. And in the past I found it kind of tricky to write lyrics with another person sometimes. It's just like, I don't know, hard to fully explain yourself and hard to like get into a rhythm. But that one, I remember it coming pretty easily, and it was kind of like line for line as we were going, like, and we were trying not to overthink it, and we're like, let's just write this stuff down, and then we can kind of look back at it after and tweak and sort of make sense of it as needed. So I look back fondly at how that one came to be. And then, yeah, we'd like roughly worked out some of the guitar part that ended up being Ben's, or lead guitarist, being a Ben's part. And so he kind of took that and ran with it. And we gave him a big space for a solo, as we often do, because that's kind of his specialty. And the original demo was just me and Nathaniel, acoustic and electric guitar, and kind of faking our way through it, probably mumbling some of the lyrics as well, and probably some lines that didn't make it. And then we took it to the band, and then everyone kind of wrote their own parts and figured it out, and we brought it to life. And especially, I think Ricky, our drummer, sort of put some energy into that song, because like there were some spots, I guess you would have heard if you just listened to it, but there's kind of like some little drum break moments where there's like some cutouts and he has some fills. And so the original demo for that, we still had the cutouts, but it was just like we're on acoustic guitar and we're like just kind of like something cool will happen here. And then he did something cool.
Well, that's always a great bonus. So then from working on all of the songs with the band, how has that similar process like gone into how you're viewing your own music?
Yeah, the solo stuff, like I said earlier, it's a lot of it is kind of old, at least the conception of it. So it's been a lot of just kind of like going back and opening up old Logic projects and like finishing them, pretty much. Like, a lot of them aren't fully fleshed out in terms of structure or, like, lyrics and that kind of thing. So it's been a little less from scratch and a little more, like, just taking them across the finish line, which can be really fun. Like, I feel like it's sort of, you need to, like, find some more, some new life in them, some new excitement in them when they've been sitting for that long. And so the fact that a lot of my old demos didn't have, well, none of them had drums. A lot of them didn't have bass. It was mostly guitar and vocals with maybe some ideas like that. But as soon as I sort of started to figure out those pieces, then that instantly kind of got the wheels turning and it started to make sense. And actually, Nathaniel has played drums on all my solo stuff so far, which is kind of a funny little crossover where, like, this project sort of lets us both you know, flex some different muscles that we don't use as much in the band, because he's gotten very interested in drumming in the last couple of years. And so I was like, this is perfect. I need drums for these songs, and I can't drum, and I don't really want them to sound like the band. Like, I kind of want it to be its own thing. So if I get him, then it's like it'll automatically sound different. So that's been fun too. And actually, Ricky, the drummer in the Love Letters, had played guitar on one of my solo songs too. I needed a guitar solo, and I've always found him to be an interesting guitar player because it's really not his main instrument. Like, obviously his main instrument is drums, but he has a really kind of cool, messy way of playing that's like very Kurt Cobain and kind of just like it's like he doesn't care. it's very I just have always liked the way he plays guitar, so I was like, I need a guitar solo, and you're cool. So
it's a bonus coolness. That also makes me just think about when I was listening to both of the songs, which we will play for everybody in a bit. So don't hold your breath, but just wait patiently. I noticed that they're very, like, kind of reminiscent and of, like, that Nirvana era sound to them.
Interesting.
I would also, like, say White Stripes a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I feel like I definitely really like the sound of, like, messy guitars and, like, messy arrangements in general, at least right now for these songs. So I've kind of been realizing with this project and at least the batch of songs I'm working on now that I think sort of the core of them is, like, they kind of work on acoustic guitar or some of them on piano, like one instrument, and it's sort of like this tidy little pop folk sort of song.
Yeah.
But then all the sort of arrangement and production stuff that I'm adding to it kind of has this different genre that's a little more like garage rock, like some psychedelic elements too that make it a little messier and a little stranger. And so I'm really excited by the combination of those two things because they sort of feel like a bit of a juxtaposition almost, where it's like you can strip the song back to its core and it's like very proper, I think. And it's like pretty clean, and like I've done acoustic versions of them and like it works. But then when you bring the full band arrangement, it's like, oh, it kind of gets a little messier. And like you mentioned, like White Stripes vibes, that's I take that as a huge compliment because I'm a huge fan of them. And, like, I like the messy sort of style that they have.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, listening to it, I couldn't quite put a genre to it either just because it really has its own sort of, like, imagery to itself. And
that's cool. Thank you.
Overlaps into a bunch of different genres, which I think is kind of common for music right now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're in an emerging genre.
Right. Yeah, no, it's kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier that I think ties into this, like the difference of recording this stuff solo is that I'm recording it like in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it's like with the band stuff right now, we've made a real effort to like record live together because, like, you know, that's how the live show is and that's what people seem to respond to and what we're excited about. So all the stuff we've been releasing with the band, the sort of core of the song we've recorded at a studio all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then with this stuff, I'm trying to do the complete opposite. And like it's recorded almost always one at a time, like one track at a time. And I've been doing a lot of it like in my bedrooms. I've recorded some guitars in the bathtub, like the reverb. Like it's kind of just sort of going back to the Beatles, like their experimental stuff is always been really interesting to me, like reading all the stories about the wacky stuff that they did in the studio to get these weird sounds. And so we don't always have the time or the patience with the band stuff to be like, what if we tried putting the amp like upside down in the bathroom? But with the solo stuff, I can do whatever I want. And so I can just try a bunch of weird stuff like that. And it could lead nowhere or it could lead somewhere really cool. And so I think that's another thing that sort of excites me about finishing these songs is just getting to try as many different ideas as
yeah.
I can.
So which are more so, like, what is inspiring, like, going more so? I've lost the track of my question. I'm going to rephrase yeah, that. Sure. So with the bathtub guitar, yeah. which sure. track we have you been that. Using that for, like, what song?
That is on the new song, Shelly, You See, which I guess we'll play later, yes. which is coming out next week. So there's some electric guitar in that, and I was, yeah, like I was saying, I was just trying to get a sort of different sound and a weird sound. And so I tried a couple things. I'm not even, I think what ended up making it onto the final is like a combination of a couple of them. But I did one where I like had the amp in the tub and then I put like a bunch of coins in the tub,
oh,
like just
okay.
like some loose stuff. And then I put the mic on the other end. So like when you played a big chord, it kind of mm-hmm. rattled a little bit. And so I did some stuff like that with that song. I did another one, another thing for a song that isn't released yet but will be soon that I'm just finishing up right now, where it was like an acoustic guitar and I mic'd it like straight up in my room and then I ran the amp again into the tub. I keep using the tub because it's just conveniently placed, but then I put an amp in there and I ran the acoustic guitar into the amp and mic'd that, and then mm-hmm. I kind of blended them so it has like the clean acoustic sound but then it also has like the dirty distorted sound.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just a lot of stuff like that has been fun to mess around with.
Yeah, I would do that if I could. It sounds great.
It's surprisingly easy.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do a radio show from the tub. are you trying to do more experimental work with your music? So are you going to be doing more so like maybe an experimental EP or album in the future? Or
yeah, I definitely am interested in that. Like, I've kind of been trying to not overwhelm myself with the scope of these songs for the solo thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because like my main focus is still the band stuff really at this point, so I'm trying to not bite off more than I can chew, and I just want to get the songs out. So originally my plan was like, I'll just release some singles, like I have some songs that are finished, I'll just put them out so they're out, and mm-hmm. then whatever happens, maybe I make an EP down the road or an album or something. And then as that's been happening, I'm like, I have 4 out of 6 potential songs pretty much done right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, these kind of feel cohesive. These feel like they're an EP. So I think it will end up being an EP. I don't know if I would say it's an experimental EP, because like I am very interested in experimenting, but then like you look up experimental songs on Spotify and it's like, okay, I'm not making this. It's like
yeah.
really out there and like really trying some crazy ideas. So I don't know if I would be so bold as to label it as that as far as genre goes, but mm-hmm. I'm always interested in that kind of thing, and I could definitely see myself leaning more into that down the road.
Yeah, for sure, because that just sounds really interesting, and I hope that you guys also find it interesting, because we'll be listening to that the new song that has not been released in a little bit. But for now, we are going to just cut over to one of Adam's songs that he... When was it released? Before Christmas or after Christmas?
I think it was September.
September.
I can't even remember. But yeah, so before. Yeah, before.
Definitely before. So we'll be listening to Toilet Wall Graffiti, and then we'll be back with more information on the making and putting out of that song. So here is Toilet Wall Graffiti in just a second.
Pause for buffering.
Yes, technology, guys, is just lovely.
Google Drive link.
Yes. All right. Here we are. So you're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
Dirty. Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
I will listen to and learn from people who don't look like me.
I commit to find the strength to work on my own implicit biases, to better educate myself, and to encourage those around me to do the same.
I will listen actively and respectfully.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.
Tree Canada's National Greening Program is planting seedlings across 5 regions of the country: BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They plant in areas that are in need of reforestation or afforestation across Canada. Tree Canada selects sites where appropriate native species will be planted to make sure that natural forests come back to life. To learn more or to get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Welcome back to Manitoba in the Moment on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Lucy, and we are here with our guest, Adam Yerish. So we just listened to your song, Toilet Wall Graffiti, which came out a couple months now, like we said earlier. So that song has a very interesting title, and I've been wanting to ask where that came from for a while.
For a while I called it Sidewalk Traffic instead, because I was like, is it too weird or gross to have toilet in the title? But it didn't quite feel right, and so I ended up sticking with it, and I think I like it now, because I think it's kind of, it's a little unexpected.
Yeah, it is.
But there was a funny moment with it where, a couple years ago, before I'd recorded or it came out, and I was just kind of had an acoustic version of it that I would play. Mm-hmm. And it was some event with my family, and I played that song. And then afterwards, my cousin came up to me, and he was like, oh, yeah, like, I like that song. What was it, like, the bathroom song? Like, oh, that was great. I was like, ah, it's the impression it's leaving. People are thinking it's the bathroom song, but...
Oh, there's worse songs you could play in the bathroom.
Yeah. It's memorable, at least. Bathroom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Stays in your mind.
Yeah. But so, honestly, other than that, it was no reason other than just thought it sounded cool. Like, it just came out in the lyrics, and I was like, well, that feels like the title. That feels like the...
The right thing.
Out of the lyrics, it feels like...
Okay.
Makes sense.
I was wondering if it was more like... Did you read some interesting bathroom graffiti, or was it...
No, I don't remember anything specifically triggering it, but I have had, like, friends now that'll just, like, send me pictures of the graffiti that they find in the bathroom now, and they're just like, oh, it's a song, and I'm like, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good mission for our listeners.
Yeah, find the weirdest graffiti you can find. There's some weird stuff. Yeah.
And then send it to Adam so that he knows that you're listening to his song.
Yeah, actually, you just unlocked a memory. When I was like finishing it and thinking about that being the title, I looked it up to see like if there are any other songs that are called that, to see if there's any competition. And there is a song out there that's like by a stand-up comedian that's has a similar title, like Bathroom Graffiti or whatever. And it's just like, I think they played on a ukulele or something, but it's like the lyrics are all comprised of things that they saw in bathrooms written on the wall. And so there's a funny video on YouTube where it's like pictures of all the graffiti they found and like they put into the song. So there's some competition out there, I guess, but very different vibes.
Yeah, very different. But I mean, that's a really fun thing to just have people be like, oh, your song, I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
So... Going into, like, the making of that song, because it also has a very nostalgic sound to it. Was that just from you working on something, again, that you had put on the shelf for a bit and then came back to?
I'm not sure, to be honest. That's, because, like, most of that recording is from, like, a demo I did that I didn't think would be the final. So I'd, like, recorded it a couple years ago. Like I think it was just the electric guitar, like the sort of lead part with minus the solo and the acoustic guitar and maybe some of the bass. And I had like that recorded from like 2023 or something. And then when I sort of decided, oh, I should start releasing these songs, I was like going back and looking through the stuff I'd recorded. And I was like, most of this song feels pretty there already. And then I got, a local artist, Micah Ehrenberg, better known as The Secret Beach.
Yes.
He mixed that song and all the ones I'm working on now. And so I was kind of just starting a conversation with him over email and sort of like, here's what I'm working with. This is kind of what I'm thinking. And originally I was like maybe even thinking of going to his studio to record. And then I sent him that demo and some other ones. And he was like, I think you could use this. Like, I think the recordings are pretty clean. And I think like if I just mix this a bit, like you could work with most of this. And so I was like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
That saves some time. So then I just had to redo the vocals, and then we added drums. And I can't remember if I redid the bass or not. But yeah, a lot of stuff, and all like the kind of weird textury stuff that's in there, a lot of that is from the original demo. And it was a lot of it was like a keyboard going through a guitar pedal, just like kind of getting some atmospheric tones. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing, too, like I probably couldn't recreate if I tried, because it's very like kind of spur of the moment, just a random reaction between the pedal and the keys. So yeah, there's a lot of that stuff in these songs.
That's very fun. So your next song, which I think I only got part of the title, but it's Shelly
You See.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I was like, for some reason, putting a don't in there.
Shelly Don't You See. That makes more sense.
Yeah. I don't know. It might just be like some weird reading thing. But that one also sounds very similar to Total Graffiti, which we were also talking about earlier, how you have like an ongoing theme with everything that you're working on at the moment.
A little bit, yeah, unintentionally.
But I feel like it's more of like a sibling song to it in the way it sounds.
Yeah. I think the biggest difference is that one I wrote on piano. And so like most of the songs kind of have like their basis on acoustic guitar, and that one never really did. I've like since sort of figured out a way to play it on acoustic guitar just so I can do it at like acoustic gigs and stuff, but it really feels best on piano, and that's kind of how like the it makes sense to me. And there's a little bit of acoustic, I think, I added in the chorus or something, but like it's the core of the song is really the keys there. So I think that kind of helps them feel different while kind of existing in the same space.
Yeah, because I would definitely say that they sound very, very similar. And it might just also just be the way it's mixed, which could be a major component in that. For those of you who don't know what a mix is, that's just how a song is structured when you're finishing it. I know not everybody is familiar with some of the terms that we've been throwing around, so that is what a mix is. And then for you audio nerds, you can go ahead and roll your eyes. So if you're going on with this sort of nostalgic, similar sounding songs, have you been writing new songs that are still in that same pathway?
Sort of. A lot of the stuff I'm writing now is sort of feeling different. Like a lot of just the chords, I think, more so than the like actual arrangements of them. It sort of feels like, oh, these, it started to feel like this next batch of songs, which I'm sort of trying to whittle down. Mm-hmm. Feel like they definitely don't exist in the same universe as the ones that I'm like finishing now and releasing now. That's definitely kind of something I've noticed with those projects. But that being said, there's like a batch of five or six that I'm thinking will end up being this EP that I'm finishing now. And like five of them are probably like 2 years old. And then one of them is from last year. And so that one was kind of like a late addition. And that one, it was written a lot more recently, obviously, but it sort of feels like it's found its place in a similar space. So mm-hmm. I don't think like now as in today or this month I'm really writing stuff that feels like it fits with this project anymore, but as of like earlier this year I was definitely still kind of finishing that project unintentionally.
Yeah, so sort of like a side quest almost with yeah. everything else you've got going on.
Yeah,
because you also do a lot of film stuff. Like I remember last time you guys were on the show, you mentioned that you did all the filming for the
music videos.
Yes, music videos. Words slipping my brain. This is why you guys' classes sometimes take it out of you. But yeah, you did a lot of the filming. So on top of being in the band, doing your own music, you're also doing a lot of film work. So has that played a role in your music as well?
100%. Yeah. Like with all these songs I'm working on now, thinking of them as singles has kind of also made me want to do music videos for all of them or mm-hmm. as many of them as I can. And so it's kind of been a fun little project for me where it's like, as I'm finishing the song, I'm kind of thinking about the music video. And in the same way that I'm using the songs to experiment with different stuff, I'm also really, even more so in the songs, I think, trying to experiment with the music videos. Mm-hmm. And just because like I do a lot of video production and editing as like my day job now. So I'm like around it a lot. And so when I'm working on projects in my free time, I kind of have found myself more inclined to just try things I've never done before. Cause I'm like, I just want to try more things. And I mm-hmm. feel like I'm doing a lot of a certain type of work, I guess. So with the first music video for Toilet Wall, I did it on Super 8, which was something I've always wanted to do, to shoot on film, and I've never really had a reason to. And I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to. Mm-hmm. So then did that video on Super 8 and kind of leaned into it being a little more experimental in terms of like visuals and structure than I'm usually comfortable with the other music videos I did and like with the band stuff and short films and other projects through the years. So mm-hmm. now with this next song, with Shelly, I'm sort of also taking an opportunity. I'm like a little over halfway the music video, I think. I'm sort of figuring out as I go. But for this one, I'm trying to shoot it all on like, you know, like a 360 camera where you look everywhere. And I've always been, we recently bought one a couple years ago with the band to sort of film some stuff in our practice space. Mm-hmm. And so we did a lot of stuff with that and it's now we just have it. And I've always been interested in, like, there's this way you can edit it where it kind of feels like you're floating around the room. Like, if you just kind of slowly adjust the view, because it can see everywhere in the room, mm-hmm. but you can select a certain part of it to see. So it sort of feels like you're, like, it almost makes you a little dizzy the way you can edit it sometimes. So the idea that I'm working with is kind of like the whole video is this POV of something. You don't really know what, but going on this, like, journey. Mm-hmm. And so it starts off in this claw machine, and it gets picked up, and then it gets dropped into the chute, and then it just kind of goes on this whole acid trip conveyor belt journey. And so that's been really cool to kind of tie the music videos with the songs in that way, where I'm sort of like, okay, song's done. I've kind of put everything I can creatively into that side of it. Now I have this whole other side of it that I have all these fresh ideas for that I haven't really had a chance to do. And then that's also tied a lot into the cover art for all the singles.
Yeah, they're very interesting and colorful and dynamic.
Thank you. Yeah, so a lot of them have sort of been motivated by the music video. Like, the cover art has kind of been the thing I figured out last for both of these songs so far. And so I've kind of done the song, then I've done the music video, and then from the music video I'm like, oh, well, that kind of feels like it's like this sister piece to the cover art, where I'm sort of taking a lot of the visuals from the music video and like sort of the metaphors and the ideas, and kind of like, okay, here's like a frame that kind of captures that. So I guess I didn't send you the cover art for Shelly, but it has like a claw machine to sort of tie it in with the music video.
I think I saw your post.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah,
you put out a post a couple days ago for teasing the song that's coming out next week.
Yeah,
on the
March 13th.
Oh, on the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, a little bit of a spooky day.
Yeah.
So we've kind of teased everybody enough with this new song. I think we should probably play it for them.
Sounds great.
So we'll be back in a little bit, but here is Shelly You See by Adam Yerish on 101.5 UMFM. Welcome back. So we just heard Shelly You See by Adam Yerish on 101.5 UMFM. This is Manitoba in the Moment, and I'm your host, Lucy. So we've been sitting and chatting with Adam for the past almost hour now about all of his music and stuff. So, well, and stuff that film, more specifically.
You covered it.
Yeah, I got the general gist for everybody. So that song is coming out on March 13th. So that very interesting sounding song, especially like at the end, it sounds almost like a melting or a slowing down of a record.
Yeah.
So what were you like, what was the whole writing part? And because it sounds like it was very fun.
It was, yeah. So yeah, as I mentioned, this song goes back a couple years as well, and it was actually like the original voice recordings I have of it. I was working this job at the time. It was kind of like in this warehouse, and there was some downtime at this job. And there was like this back room that had this old beat up piano, mm-hmm. that I would sometimes go to, like when I had a break or could sneak away for a bit. And so I don't remember if I wrote the idea from scratch there, but my earliest recordings are from there. So that was definitely when I was figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And so I would work on it sometimes there, and like, and I really liked the sound of this old piano. It was very kind of weird and broken sounding. And so my sort of early composition and messing around with ideas, a lot of that would happen there. And then I would like take the recordings home and think about it. And then it was kind of like I finished it, but I didn't really know it was finished yet fully. Like, I think I had most of the song, but I didn't really have that ending that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so it was like 2 minutes. And I was like, this doesn't really feel complete yet. And so I kind of, I recorded a demo, and I had, this one actually was a bit of an exception to what I said earlier, but this one actually had drums and bass and guitar and everything. Like, I pretty much figured out the arrangement and then kind of shelved it for a little bit. And then when I came back to it, I was like, oh yeah, this is similar to the other one. I was like, this is mostly there. Like, I just need to redo a lot of this stuff and then mm-hmm. add real drums. Yeah, and then that the part at the end that you mentioned, that was something that I added when I was finishing it, and I was kind of had the idea for it to slow down. And so Nathaniel played drums on this one, so we had sort of figured out how much to slow it down and how we'd record that. And like, you know, we record it to a click, so like automating the mm-hmm. click to slow down just the right amount. It took a bit of finessing to get it just right. And then so we recorded it, and in the original recording it did slow down. And then when I sent it to Micah, to the Secret mm-hmm. Beach studio, I kind of told him my idea for the ending and what we'd recorded so far. But I was like, but I feel like it could go a little further if you have any ideas. So he messed with it even more and kind of like pitched it down as well as slowed it down a little bit more. So like, we had it where it was kind of like a steady slowdown, then it stays at that tempo, and he had mm-hmm. it kind of slowing down the whole time, and like my voice is getting lower and the whole thing is getting a little like warbly.
Yeah.
So yeah, he definitely kind of took it across the finish line in terms of, like you said, making it sound like it's melting or kind of falling
yeah,
apart.
Yeah, or like a record player that's yeah. not got enough juice yeah. going on there.
And like, you know, there's a lot of recordings that I really liked growing up where you try to play along to it and it would be like in between a key, because mm-hmm. they would record it and they'd pitch it down a little bit. There's a lot of Beatles stuff like that and some other things from that vintage. And so I'd always thought that was kind of cool. It's like, yeah. it's like G half sharp is like, it gets into like weird microtonal stuff. So when I sent it to him, I was like, he kind of, when he did that, I was like, oh, that's perfect. Like, now when you play along to it, it's like, wait, hang on. Like, you can't actually play along to the end of that song on the recording, because it would kind of, you need to detune your guitar mm-hmm. as you're playing with it. So I always thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, would be definitely a feat to do live.
Yeah, well, we did it live for a show a bit, and we just, you can't do that part. We'll yeah, slow down, but you can't detune everything. Yeah, that would be a little impossible.
Yeah, so show-wise, you have been doing a lot of, like, acoustic sort of solo stuff, and I believe some other, like, full band stuff at the Park Alleys?
Yeah, we did one show at the Park Alleys for New Music Night mm-hmm. with Manitoba Music, and that was back in December. And that was really cool. That was the first time that I played any of these songs with the band live. And kind of haven't had much going on since. Like, done the odd acoustic thing, and I did the Young Performers program at Folkfest last year. Mm-hmm. So I've had little opportunities like that, but it kind of hasn't been my main focus for live stuff lately, because the band has just been so busy, and like that kind of scratches the itch for a live performance.
Yeah.
But I now that I'm like getting these songs out there, I do want to get some more shows going, so maybe I'll try and set something up for later in the year. We'll see. It's kind of, I'm kind of not thinking about it too much right now, but I would like something to happen, so we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, going forward. Mm-hmm. So do you think you'll be doing Folkfest again, or?
I'll try. I think I'm the last, I'm 24, and so that's the oldest you can be to do the Young Performers program. Mm-hmm. And so I'll apply. We'll see. It'll be my last chance. But last year was a really good experience, so I'd love to do it again. But I do feel like I got like my fix from last year, and yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's really good. I've had a couple of friends who've done it, and they had good things to say about it too. Was that experience, like, altogether very beneficial for you as well?
Definitely, and it's sort of, that was before I had released any of these songs, so mm-hmm. it sort of helped me kind of legitimize this project a little bit, because it was sort of the first thing I'd done since I'd been working on this, and since I'd actually decided to, like, give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think doing that was, you know, I met a ton of cool people, and our mentor was this guy Sam Brooks from the UK, and he was really cool. He was, yeah, he was awesome, getting to hang out with him and chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
So all the connections were great, but it also just kind of gave me some motivation, like, okay, whether I like it or not, I'm doing this now, so
yeah.
Now you have to do it. You can't back out. Like, you
set the wheels in motion.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So we are creeping up to the end of the hour. Is there anything else, like, that you're planning on other than maybe releasing an EP or anything with the band that you want to mention?
Yeah, there's lots going on. So, yeah, I'm releasing that song next week, and then I have two more that are nearly ready to go that I think will be singles, and then maybe an EP?
So
I can't give a timeline on that, but
hopefully by the summer or
maybe
fall.
Something will be decided by the summer. There'll be some sort of announcement. but there'll definitely be more songs out by then, and I'm going to do more music videos. I'm going to try to do music videos for all of them, so that'll continue to happen. And then lots of band activity going on. We just recorded a bunch of stuff at No Fun Club a couple weeks ago, so we're finishing up those songs. We have a single that we're actually hoping to release next month, I think.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You've got lots going on musically.
Lots going on. And then we're doing a little tour in May
is the
plan. We've been talking about it for a while, and now it's like, okay, it's actually happening. We finally got confirmation from all these people. So, yeah, that's going to be the big focus for the next little bit, is playing those shows. And then we have some local shows, too. We're playing with Banana Crisis mm-hmm. at The Handsome Daughter on the 27th, I want to say, of March. And we have a Tap House gig the week before. So lots going on. Keeping busy.
Yeah, very much so. So you have Sally.
Sally.
Words are not working. Oh, my God. S's. Okay. Shelly, you see, coming out on March 13th. And then
music video to follow.
Music videos coming out, which all sound really, really interesting. And, I mean, from all of the music videos I've seen that you've worked on, they're really, really cool.
Thank you.
So I would really recommend everybody goes and checks them out, because you also did the Love Letters music videos.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all really fun and cool, especially for 2000 Tattoos.
Yeah, actually, I have one more plug, actually. I just finished a music video for my friend Steven Adamopoulos.
Oh, yeah?
He has a new project called Steven and the Rats, and they just released their first single 2 weeks ago or so, and we just wrapped on the music video. So that'll be coming out next week, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So lots of music videos from Adam coming or are out, and one more in
a
couple of weeks. So make sure you go check out his new song when it comes out on the 13th, and then all of the music videos, and make sure you just keep an eye out, because it looks like Adam has a lot coming for us in the next couple of months. So it was great to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Of course. Anytime, as you know. Thanks for tuning in, guys. You've been listening to Manitoba in the Moment on 101.5 UMFM. We'll catch you all next week.